This morning, our scripture comes from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. I'm going to invite you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word, even in your homes, and we will read together a single life-changing verse together. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, and the scripture will be on the screen. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this most powerful verse in the Bible. It is amazing that you are timeless. You are eternal. As Pastor Gloria said, you reign forever and ever. Yours is the kingdom, Lord. Yours is the glory today. And so, Father, we celebrate a resurrected Savior as the church. Even in our homes, we are united in spirit, O God. And we celebrate you. You are our focus. You are our attention. You never change, O God. As we stand on the promises of your word today, and we are forever changed in the presence of an almighty God. So, Father, would you add your blessing to your word today? I need your help to preach it, oh God. Let it be your word spoken to your people for such a time as this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We are talking about what we theologically call the immutability of God, which means the unchanging nature of God. And the Jesus you read in the Bible is the same Jesus now. Jesus is the creator. Jesus is the redeemer. Jesus is our soon and coming king. He lives forever and ever. And friends, all may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. There are several things that have radically changed our world in the last 1,000 years. Consider the changes over the centuries. Start with the impact of law and order, commercial trade and open markets, the discovery of the new world, literacy for the common man and common woman, the scientific discoveries, revolutions for equality, communications that bridge wide distances, and we end with the most recent technology that makes information instantly accessible. But in the last few weeks, we have encountered a change that belongs to a category that had the most significant impact in the last millennium, and it was at its height in the 14th century. This is the impact of plagues. Epidemics forever change civilizations and are forever remembered in the history books that tell our story. And the worst of the deadly plagues struck in 1343 to 1353 when the Black Death, caused by the bubonic plague, ravaged Europe and Africa and Asia, killing more than 75 to 200 million people worldwide. Friends, what an epidemic. We find ourselves living in an ominous time in history, when we are unsure as to whether things will become increasingly better or if things will become increasingly worse. We just don't know. Change is in the air. We have never had to self-isolate. We have never had to social distance like this before. Now, I don't say all of this to scare you, but I say it to remind you that we have an unchanging God in a rapidly changing world. I want you to hold on to that truth today. We have an unchanging God in a rapidly changing world. This truth should give us confidence and hope to believe that we can endure any change that comes our way with Jesus Christ, who is the sure and steady anchor of our souls today. This morning, I want you to discover how the resurrection reinforced the unchanging person, the unchanging power, and the unchanging promise of Jesus Christ, both for his disciples and the early church who lived in the first century, but also for us as we live out our lives in the 21st century. First, we look at the first point, the unchanging person of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read two scriptures to you. The first one is from Acts 1, 11. This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. The second scripture, Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, you can even add, this same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Messiah. One of the most powerful phrases that shaped the early church is this same Jesus. This same Jesus. You see, death and resurrection life did not change his personhood in any way. The Spirit of Jesus, which is the essence of who he is, was the same while he lived on earth and is the same after he rose again. What is not the same is his body. What became perishable has become imperishable again. The good news for those who believe in the resurrection is that you will not cease to be you after you die. That's good news. With a glorified body, you will one day be your best you. And that's just not self-talk, just a way to encourage yourself. This is the truth. This is not just positive thinking. This is the truth. How do we know he is the same Jesus physically? Well, when we read the accounts of the resurrected Jesus, we see that he bore the same crucifixion marks. You would think that a glorified body would have erased all those marks upon him, in his hands and in his feet and in his side. But no, these marks identify what he had accomplished on the cross at Calvary. They were no longer open wounds oozing with blood. They were scarred hands and scarred feet. Luke, the physician, synthesizing the eyewitness accounts, tells us one of the resurrection stories where Jesus appeared to his disciples in Luke 24, 39 to 40. "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself," Jesus said. "Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. You see, Jesus clarified that a resurrection body is not a ghostly apparition. He had flesh. He had bones. However, he also had no limitations because he could appear and disappear. Not only did he have flesh and bones, but he still had a stomach intact too. And in Luke 24, 41 to 43, Jesus asked, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. What a relief to us to know that resurrected bodies will eat. In fact, there is the marriage supper of the Lamb that we will eat with him. And perhaps the joy will be that we will be able to eat and enjoy all this delicious food, but not gain any weight. I sure hope so. The large confusion does not lie in deciphering between the living Jesus and the resurrected Jesus, but in deciphering the way Jesus has been revealed throughout the scriptures from the beginning to the end. In Revelation 1:8, the Apostle John records that God discloses himself as the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Before creation, Jesus was full deity. In history, Jesus is born in full humanity, yet fully divine. And in the future, Jesus will reappear in full glory. Colossians 1:15 helps us understand the identity of Jesus as the Son. The Son is the image of the invisible God. You see, Jesus was and Jesus is the very visibility of God among humankind. He is ultimately the same. From creation to incarnation, from incarnation to resurrection, from resurrection to ascension, and from ascension to the second coming. He is the same person. He is the same Jesus. And so, friends, it's worth repeating to you today, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Second point this morning is the unchanging power of Jesus Christ. The unchanging power of Jesus Christ. I want to read to you from Romans 8:11. The scripture says, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you." I also want to read from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. See, during his life and his ministry, Jesus, he did many things. Jesus healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cleansed the leper, and he drove out the demons. He turned water into wine. He miraculously fed the multitudes, and he even calmed the raging storms. But there is no greater power exerted in and through Jesus than his resurrection power. And as a result, the effects of the crucifixion and the effects of the resurrection are to be applied in you in order to address two inevitable things in life. And the first is this, that everyone has sinned. Each and every one of us have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. And secondly, that everyone that is born will die. You see, from one angle, the wages of sin is death. From the other angle, death is inevitable because we are mortal beings. We are not immortal beings. And our spiritual sickness today can be overcome by the power of the crucifixion. And our physical death today can be overcome by the power of the resurrection. And if you believe in Jesus, then the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, my friends, lives in you. Romans 8:11 specifically talks about this same spirit as an indwelling power. It takes up residence within us. It is living inside of us. The same indwelling power is the resurrection potential that is within you. Then Ephesians 1:19 to 21 specifically talks about the spirit as dunamis, the Greek word dunamis, which means power. Think of dynamite. This is the dynamite power of God living inside of you. That same dynamite power rose Jesus from the dead. This morning, have you ever seen one of these machines before? You will often see this machine hanging on the wall in a public venue where there's a lot of people. In fact, we have one at our church building, and our staff have been trained how to use an automatic external defibrillator. And this machine will send an electrical current to the heart of someone who's experiencing cardiac arrest or abnormal arrhythmia. And the goal is to reset the heart rhythm from too fast or too slow and bring it back into regularity. And the jolt of 200 to 400 joules is the power that can bring someone who is on the brink of death back to life. And while using AED is a proactive step that can save lives, it does not always guarantee a saved life. It does not always guarantee that things will be stabilized. It pales in comparison to the resurrection power that takes people who are declared physically dead and brings them back to life through resurrection power. See, this power is much more powerful. You cannot measure it. You cannot contain it. This is the resurrection power of Jesus, and it's available to you right now. In order to tap into this power, all it takes, my friends, is faith and trust in a resurrected Savior. And friends, it's worth repeating once again, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Last point this morning, the unchanging promises of Jesus. The unchanging promises of Jesus. I want to read to you from Hebrews chapter 6, 11 to 20. The scripture says, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters this inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. I also want to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, which says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. You cannot understand Jesus apart from the book of Hebrews. That's why it's in your Bible. You see, we might be tempted to just look at the gospel stories and the gospel accounts, but Hebrews is a critical book in understanding Jesus in light of the promises. This book shows us that what God promised, he accomplished through his son, Jesus. In Hebrews 17, we read of the unchanging nature of God's purpose. God's purposes never change. This means that when God makes up his mind, he does not change his mind. He is not an unpredictable God behaving one way one day and another way another day. He is not indecisive, not being able to make up his mind. He is not rash and reactive, revising his purpose and his plan as things change. No, our God is constant. Our God is consistent. Our God is certain. He is sure and steady. And God's unchanging ability to keep his promises is proven in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Hebrews 6:18 talks about two unchangeable things. What exactly is the author of Hebrews trying to say here? The first is this. The first point is that God made an oath. And you and I, we might break our promises. We might break our oaths. You can ask my daughter Sadie about that, and she'll tell you that I still need to keep my promise about buying her a trampoline for the backyard. Uh-oh, Sadie, if you're listening. This is the struggle of being an earthly father. I just think a trampoline takes up too much space. It's hard to mow your lawn, so it's complicated. That's something she doesn't understand yet. But you see, our God has never broken any of his promises. The second point is that God does not lie. Not only does God keep his promises, but he also never lies. We make white lies to protect someone from having their feelings hurt. We bend the truth to mislead someone. But all, not just some, all of God's words are trustworthy and true. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, we read that all God's promises are yes. Now that would just be sufficient enough for us. Just end the sentence there with a period, or better yet, just put an exclamation mark there, and that would punctuate the meaning behind the text. But the Apostle Paul goes on to clarify that they are yes in Jesus. They're not just yes in their own. They're yes in Jesus. You see, without Jesus, the promise is left unfulfilled. Craig Keener, an astute New Testament commentator, he tells us, amen functioned as a positive affirmation at the end of a prayer. And Christ became the amen and yes to all the biblical promises of a truly faithful God. You never say amen at the beginning of your prayer. You say it at the end of your prayer with faith that the prayer you prayed will come to pass because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. So Jesus is the yes to the promises of God. And now we, in return, we give the amen to Jesus, the promise keeper. And if God has the promises, then he also has the same plan and he has the same purpose. And I love the way the Apostle Peter and John declare this confidence in Jesus in Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to humankind by which we must be saved. You see, that there is no other name than the unchanging name of Jesus. We sang it today. What a beautiful name. What a powerful name. What a wonderful name. Jesus. Friends, it's worth repeating just one more time. If you haven't got the point, let me repeat it to you again. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As I conclude this morning, earlier in the week that passed, one of our congregation members emailed me with an impression that she felt on two separate occasions. It was consistent, believing that perhaps the Holy Spirit might have a message for us as the Church of Jesus Christ in these times. And after praying about it, I felt that I would share it with you on this Easter Sunday. It is also a reminder to you today that the Holy Spirit can still speak to the church even when we're not physically gathering together, but when we're still unified in the Spirit. Here's what she said and wrote to me. There have been two instances recently when I felt the Holy Spirit remind me that God is the one who gives and sustains both our physical and spiritual breath. Scripture tells us, Genesis 2:7, then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Job 33:4, the Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. Isaiah 42:5, thus says God, the Lord who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. In Acts 17, 25, God is not served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. Then she adds this prayer, COVID-19 is an infection that threatens our physical breath. But God declares that he is the one who gives breath. Lord, since you are the one who gives us both physical and spiritual breath, I ask you to push this disease from our church and our city and our country and our world. Let the same spirit catch it. Let the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead quicken our physical bodies, we pray. And Lord, beyond the physical, let this crisis also bring opportunities for your spirit working through the people of God to bring spiritual life to many. And as I heard those words, as I read those words, as I even speak these words over you today, as you sense what the Spirit is saying, I can sense in my heart that there are people listening to my voice this morning who are on spiritual life support. You're on a ventilator spiritually. And if that ventilator was taken away, you would die. It's not COVID-19, but friends, it's your sin that has brought you to this place. And I promise you that this same Jesus can meet you in your homes if you open your heart to him today. I'm convinced that this same Jesus can give you breath and life. I'm convinced that this same Jesus can give you spiritual strength and the power of the resurrection. I'm convinced that this same Jesus has a salvation plan, has a greater purpose for you, and has promises to fulfill in your life. So friends, this decision can literally save your life, not only from spiritual death, but also from physical death. If you want to know this unchanging Jesus today, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, would you pray this prayer with me in the sacredness of this moment, with the presence of Jesus surrounding you? Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that you sent Jesus to die for my sins. I receive your love and forgiveness today. I ask that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead live inside me and transform me. Thank you for saving me and for giving me a greater purpose. Thank you for being my unchanging Jesus in an ever-changing world. In Jesus' name, amen.